in our midst, right? He's in our midst. So if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be God's Word, Our Evidence. And I was thinking about evidence this morning. I was thinking about how when somebody, you know, does a crime and they get caught doing a crime and you know, they begin to look for evidence. They begin to try to find evidence to either declare that person guilty or not guilty. And that's the way our judicial system works. You know, and the what they find, they begin to try to find evidence. So are you guilty or not guilty this morning of evidence of God's Word? God's Word is our evidence. That is the evidence. And God's Word is all the evidence that me and you need to know that we have victory in whatever we face right now or in the future. Now that victory, you know, whenever that person, he's relying on the ones that are trying to find the evidence, especially if they're innocent. They're relying on the evidence that they find to regain their freedom again. And so we may have been imprisoned by some things that we're not free. Or, you know, like Monty taught, you know, I mean, the Word of God takes us on a journey of freedom. We might not feel it. We might not can see it. That's why we can't quit while we're going. Most folk back off because they don't see any evidence, you know, of the freedom. But that's where faith comes in, you know. Give me the about the two foundations. I want to just read some scripture. I'm going to try not to preach on this because I'm depending on the Holy Spirit this morning to bring revelation to us, even deepen revelation that we have, because that is what happened to Peter. Peter had revelation from God that Jesus was the Son of God. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Talking about revelation that come from God to Peter about Jesus. He said, I'll build my church on this revelation and the gates of hell will not prevail. So whatever revelation me and you get from the Lord, the gates of hell cannot prevail. But you got to hang on to revelation when it comes. When God brings a word to you, it means something to you, it's quickened to you. Look, revelation is not a big blast out of the sky. It's in here. I mean, he'll enlighten you, your mind, praise God. Therefore, whosoever heareth these say, these is in red letter, by the way. Jesus wrote this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He's talking about the word. Before he wrote this parable right here, he was teaching them about love your enemies, about the Beatitudes and all of that leading up. He was talking about the Word. He's talking about the things that he taught them, the things that were wrote for us that Jesus wrote and Paul wrote and all of those. He said, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. Life happens. I mean, he's talking about our life right here. He's saying in all of these, he said, upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus is the rock. Now after that, we got the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He led y'all to church today. You might have thought you'd come for whatever reason, praise God. You know, I mean, somebody told me here a while back, they said, you just don't give up on people. No, how? He said, I hear you invite the same people over and over, year after year. He said, you just don't give up, do you? I said, no. Why would I give up on my army? Why would I give up on the ones that God has put me in, put me in a spiritual place to help them to succeed? I said, why would I? When I know that my army is setting out and they need to be engaged, you know, so that they've got some backup. How many knows the church is a backup? We stand together. United we stand. That's why we live in the United States of America. The land of the free and the home of the brave. That's the church. I mean, that's the church. Hallelujah. Well, he said here, it blew and it founded, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. Now he turns it around here. He said, but if you hear these sayings of mine, you go home and you don't meditate on it. You don't think about what I said. See, now I said to start with that the Word of God is all the evidence you need to know that you got victory in your marriage. You got victory with your kids. You got victory in your finances. What does the Word of God say about everything that you're going through? Don't be all confused. This world is confused. And some Christians are confused just because they don't know what the Word of God says. That's why the enemy don't want me and you reading our Bible on a regular basis. The enemy does not want us to go to church where there's not a bunch of foolishness going on. We don't even have no schism in this body. If there's anybody mad at anybody in here, I have no idea about it yet. But if when I find out about it, if I do, I will bring them two together and hear y'all kiss and make up. Why? Blessed is the peacemaker. See? How simple, but how profound. Blessed is the peacemaker. That's powerful. That is when things happen, praise God, and you're standing on the Word of God, that you're going to be the peacemaker. You're not going to argue back. You're just going to be quiet when you want to pop them or you want to say something. But your life to be blessed is, Jesus said, but these are those that hear my words and does them. That life comes, not that, but life comes, and then your house don't fall. But he said, them that won't go to church, well, it don't say that. But I just want to add to a little bit there. Church is a big part of hearing. Church is a big part of victory. I mean, church play. Why? God established the gatherings. God anoints the gatherings. I mean, God anoints my hearing out there because I am one with the gatherings. The church, the called out. You know what the word church means? I mean, we need to know what these words mean. People believe they are individually the church. That's not scriptural. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you are the church. They are plenty of scriptures where it says that he fitly joins the body together. The word church all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, means this. Back in the Greek and Hebrew meaning of the word, it says that it is a called out, called together, and assembly. That's what the word church all through your Bible means. See, I have that revelation. That's why you can't get me out of here. That's why you can't get me mad at everybody and quit pastoring. I've been here a couple of years. 21, to be exact. And boy, howdy, have I had some storms. Oh! You know how little kids are in the nursery? You know, just think about all these little tots in there up to 5 years old, man. Heard one scream one time. I said, what happened to it? Said, well, the one wanted the little car and the other one wanted it. So one took the car and hit him in the head with it. And he started screaming. Crying, oh, mommy, mommy, mommy. So they said, oh, it's all right. Just a few minutes later, they're both playing together. And they ain't sitting there, you hit me in the head with that car, I'm going to bust you with a school bus. No, they forgot all about it, man. They got their toys and moved on. How many know sometimes that is the way the church has acted? Some folk get their feelings hurt. They don't like what's said. Maybe somebody didn't shake their hand just right. See, we're supposed to be about Jesus, not about people. Not about how we feel. I mean, it's good. We try to greet every, like the new folk this morning, we tried to greet you and all that. But if you feel at home and you feel in place, that is your master. That's God. And so he said here, he said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Now, I've been in the ministry 30 years, and I've watched people's lives. I've watched them come to Jesus, and I've watched them get plugged into the church, and I've watched them, they get excited. Read their Bible and they start getting things and they can't shut up because things are happening in their life. Man, Jesus is moving. They feel good. Maybe nothing's changed out here, their jacked up life like mine was. But in here, I'm changing. All week long, I'm changing. And then I've seen them kind of back out of praying, back out of reading. See, when somebody gets out of church, it's not because they just decided usually to quit church. They quit reading. They quit engaging. They quit praying, they quit fasting, they quit sacrificing, and before you know it, the less they sacrifice, the less life they have on the inside. Why? Because they're doing the word. I went to my, let me see what I got. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Are you getting anything this morning? I know you are. Hallelujah. See, when I got born again and I began to realize what God's Word said, I began to realize how I had walked my life into a jacked up life and marriage. The Word began to straighten my thinking out on why we were where we were at. See, the Word of God is a mirror, but it's not a mirror to destroy us. God's Word is good. God's Word is life. God's Word will bring life wherever we plant it. Your heart is like a garden. You may have planted bitterness in it. Somebody did you wrong. The judicial system wasn't treating you right. I mean, I've seen it all, you know. And I've even went to the jails and the prisons, and they're angry and they're upset because of the judicial systems are not like they should. And I'm in agreement that a lot of them are not. But you know, I would tell them, look, you're looking unto Jesus. You're not looking unto that. What am I doing? I'm getting them to be a doer of the word, trusting in the Lord. But I've seen God deliver them. I mean, set out for prison and different things, you know, and done been sentenced, and them turned toward Jesus, and Jesus have bring his mercy in where he couldn't do it before because they wouldn't let him. They're angry and bitter. So if you've got angry and bitterness in your heart today, you will not enjoy life. You will try to be a Christian, and you will not experience what Christians that cast that stuff and forgive. You will experience joy and peace. Evidence, here is the evidence of victory from God's Word, right here. This is your evidence this morning. Where is your life? Are you one? And you got to ask yourself. You got to examine yourself. Jesus said right here, here is your evidence. The evidence, the floods are coming and you're being defeated. Financial, it's one thing after another. I mean, it's just you're living a life of total defeat. There is your evidence right there that exists. There is your evidence right there on the top one that victory is possible. He hears these sayings of mine and does them. See, God brought his... I'm reading the Word of God concerning... I wasn't concerned about marriage. I'm reading the Word of God, and... We hadn't been saved too long. And we didn't have a good marriage before we got saved. We're 7 years on and off. And I mean, I borrowed the money to get a divorce. That's my wife back there, by the way, of 38 years, the one in the... Yeah. This word right here saved it. But I wasn't trying it. Black God, I've set out and I started reading that Bible. I started finding out that victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory is mine. That was my song and I was sticking to it. Went back to my church one time and I said, well, what's that song? We don't remember that song. I said, man, we sang that song up here. That song got me out in the battle. That song caused me to start winning the war that was going on against my life. I said, come on, man, I was going to bring it to my church. He said, we don't know what song you're talking about. And I'm like, well, Jesus, maybe the angels were singing it and I'm the only one hearing it. I heard it in that church. But this is my evidence. But before I had any evidence, Johnny, that was all the evidence I needed. Because I thought, bless God, Jesus said, if I'll take his word and do it, then hell can come against me and it won't prosper. You know, my marriage, it can come against my marriage and it can't prosper. It can come against me and my children. And if I do the word, not based on whether they do it or not. See, you can't start having victory based on everybody else treating you right, doing you right, doing right, that it won't never work for you. You got to start where you are and say, Jesus, here I am, black God, and I'm going to be a doer of your word. You got to make some concrete quality decision. You know what a quality decision is? It's a decision that me and you make based on the word of God, and we are not going to sway from it. We're going to think it. We're going to, if we need to, put it on our refrigerator. Put it on your rear view mirror. I mean, if you're born again, I mean, you need to put it on your refrigerator. Hey, beautiful. Man, you ought to go around, I look good. Glory to God. Oh, I'm created in the image and likeness of God. Did you know when you get an image of that in there, somebody can tell you you're trash and you look at them, who? Somebody behind me? See why? Because you know you taking the word and you are hearing it. You're hearing what Jesus said about you. He said you're a king and a priest unto God. He said you're created in the image and likeness of God. He said you are a chosen generation. He said that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead like Jesus was. You are a new creation. You are not the same person that you was before you gave your heart to Jesus. But see, now the evidence has not come forth yet of what happened in your life, because evidence usually takes a little time. Hallelujah. Went to my heart doctor. You wouldn't know I had open heart surgery if you went and followed me around. 4 years ago, but God, I had open heart surgery, and it didn't. I made up my mind that open heart surgery is not going to define me. The word already defined me. I am more than a conqueror, right? And I had it in me. And I mean, I had opportunity to get oppressed and my body and hurt and blah, blah, blah. I told Teresa one time, started feeling sorry for myself. I thought, man, I won the victory all the way up till now, my marriage. And then now, look at it now. She don't want to know somebody can't do nothing. I'm not a man like I was. You don't think Satan works on you with that garbage? So she started through there, Jackie, one day. And I told her, I said, just wait on me a little longer, baby. In other words, what I was saying, please. Oh, God, if you can help me. I'm just a dead deadbeat. I can't do nothing for it. Satan, nobody knows the troubles I have. I mean, he sings that. You'll sit there, oh, God. And then I told the Lord, she went in there, and he said, why did you say that? I said, well, Lord, I mean, look at me. I mean, look at my body, Lord. He said, I thought you're supposed to be, while we look not at the things that are seen. Ain't that what the Bible says? While we don't focus on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. See, what was happening to me is just like all of us. Life was there. It was blowing. It was banging on my life. This is real in my life. And all these thoughts, they're coming to me. And I had to cast them down. And then before you know it, I'd be like, she'll wait. I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus. She better not never forget it. What happened? I went from that low place in here to in here up. That word will bring you up. That's why you can't focus on where you are and poor life you had. I was raised out of 17. Man, they nearly let me slide off the bluff and laughed and went and humiliated me, went up before all of my people. A little idiot. He was on the side of the bluff and he's crawling across there and blah, blah, blah. Made me feel like an idiot. I mean, I stole block. Dad would come in with yellow blocks. How many know what yellow blocks are? Just a couple of people. That's how long it's been. But I'm not old. Granny asked me one time, she said, is your hair, is that natural? Oh, it'll be turning gray. I said, yeah. I said, nah. She said, you've dyed it. I said, no, I'm not. That is natural. And then, see, if I have any gray hair, if worry causes you to have gray hair, I won't ever have none. Because I done found out I don't have to worry about nothing. See, you ain't got no troubles if you're a Christian. All you need is faith in God. You ain't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God. Somebody told me the other day, he said, good Lord, you don't look like you had surgery. I said, I didn't. This body did. You ain't your body. You're on the inside. If you don't believe me, go to funerals. When Uncle Sam done died, you know, you're laying there looking at, you're not looking at Uncle Sam. He done left that body, right? This is just the car we're driving. This is it. But we're supposed to go and take our faith and drive this car, not let this car drive us. That's why I'm not going to have arthritis. The Bible says I've been redeemed from the curse. I've been redeemed from sickness and disease. The Bible says that Jesus took on his... My doctor says it's not possible. Well, the Bible says that all things, Mark 9:23, are possible, even though the doctor don't know what Jesus knows. And the doctor don't know that what we know. We know the Word works mightily in us, according to the Apostle Paul. We know that all things are possible, so it's possible. I'm in better shape physically right now than I have been in 15 years. After four years ago of open heart surgery, I'd still pull 12, 15 hours. That's what I want to do. I get off work, start second shift. Well, it's not a mental thing. It's a spiritual matter. The Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. Now, I've had to say that a lot, and I still say that at times because my body tries to mess with me at times. My heart tries to mess with me at times. My mind tries to mess with me at times, you know, and my feelings, how I feel, tries to mess with me at times. But I've learned you don't walk by how you feel. I don't walk by how I feel. I don't walk by what it looks like, praise the Lord. Every now and then he has a little trouble up here, you know, with the guitar. And so I tell him, we turned it up a little bit. And so I mean, it seemed like it was muzzle more. So I stood there and I said, but none of these things move us. Some people's told me because I do that, Scotty just don't care. Why should I care? Why should I take care? Why should I care? Why should I take that on like there's something I can do about it? And worry, oh God. I've almost worried about Monty. I've almost worried about Jenny. And Doris. And Dee. And all of y'all. Not y'all yet, you ain't been here very long. And Jackie. And, oh, Stacy. Why? Because I've known all some of y'all's jacked up stuff. And some of y'all's jacked up stuff tried to jack me up. But I just ain't going to be jacked up. Are you going to be jacked up? You going to let your neighbor jack you up? You going to let your husband jack you up? You going to let your wife jack you up? Don't let them jack you up. You stay jacked up in Jesus. Stay with the Word. See, all we got to do is make sure that we're guilty of victory. Guilty of hanging on to the Word. Now I'm going to show you how the Word works. Maybe. This is the best way that I can demonstrate it. I go to the heart doctor. And he tells me, now I've got money. I got the money. You know, and it's, you know, I just ain't going to be robbed. I got robbed of most of my life, you know. And the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steals, right? So I'm always looking to see if he's trying to rob me some way. He's a thief. So I'm always alert, you know. He said, be vigilant. Huh? He said, because your adversary is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant. Watch. Pay attention. So, I mean, I'm going to be in that one where when it comes, I got to do that. I got to say, hey, man, this is the devil. So anyways, I'm sitting in there, and this is some of the best medicine, I guess, for your heart. And he said, I'm going to need you to take this right here. And he said, it's $500 a month. And I looked at him and I said, that's not going to happen. Now, I wasn't trying to be arrogant. And I can believe God for the $500 a month, but I'm not getting robbed over some heart pills. Right? Now, that's my thinking. And I'm thinking, no! $500, ain't going to happen. I told him, I said, ain't going to happen. See, when the doctor gives you, like, don't be set. If you are at the mercy of your doctor, then you are in very great trouble today. You got it? He's not your Savior. He's not your healer. He's not your only thing you can turn to when things are coming against your body. You got a higher power than that. And so, anyways, it made him mad. He got mad. I could see it, Dunny. He looked at me and said, well, have you heard about that Omega fish oil? I said, yeah, you can buy that at Walmart. Well, just take two a day of them. I said, oh, okay, I can handle that, man. How much is it, $8? Yeah, about a bit. We bought a big bottle. It'll cover months for pennies. And so going there. Now, I'm looking at it. It's a horse pill. This looks like a horse. You got to have faith to swallow that thing. And it's gel. You better have something wet or it sticks in your throat and it just ain't going down. Man, you better be all slicked up when you take it. And so I looked at it and I'm like, can't see nothing in that. I mean, I know there's something in there. You know, this medicine was $500. And this is his next alternative. And so I go and I'm like, well, even though I can't see it, so I go take it every day. I take it every day. You know, Tracy fixing my med, I take it every day. I go back to the doctor about 6 months, and he goes in there and he runs. I have to go and do some blood work, and then I meet him the next day or so. So I go in there and he's reading my results, and he says, oh, your triglycerides, they're really good, you know, that eloquent. I said, I'm not taking that. He said, well, what are you? I said, you told me omega fish oil from Walmart. You know what you're taking? I said, yeah. He said, it's normal. He said, it was out the roof. He said, the omega fish oil, that's, I said, yeah. My blood pressure gets high. I can drink a bottle of water and jerk it down. He said, I've never heard of that. I said, you have now. Water with me lowers my blood pressure quick. Hot in August, drank too much water and fall out. Lowered my blood pressure. Fell out, woke up, and I'm like, cows, I'll let you lay here and die, man. I don't know how long I'd laid there. You get up and keep driving fence post. God, I better call ambulance, call ambulance. What's that song Mike Perkin them used to sing? Jesus on the main, call him up, tell him what you want. Don't, I'm going to call him. Thank you, Lord, I didn't die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It won't ever happen to me again in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I command that blood pressure to line up, to stay up, and don't try to jack me up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, you have authority over your body if you're in faith and you're standing on the Word. Your words have power. They release power. Good or bad. As Christians, our words carry power. Now, my point in that, telling about that omega fish oil, I couldn't see no results in that capsule. I'm like, I wonder what's in there that does this stuff. I thought, well, it don't matter. But you know, 6 months later, you know what I got? The results of that capsule. Now, you put the Word of God in, your heart, your mouth, your thinking, and I mean a little bit of time goes by, and you may not see no results, feel no results, but that capsule was working in my system, clearing out whatever it was that was trying to mess me up, and it cleared it all out, and the end result was I had the evidence that it's working. And so now, your life and my life, we have some evidence. I don't have full evidence yet. Why? I'm not made it to a billionaire yet. Why would you want a billion? I don't. Bible just said he took himself poverty that I might be made rich. Why would I not want to be? Right? I mean, if you have enough to go pay cash for your car, wouldn't you rather have that than push that bicycle? Right? I know we don't hear this, and this seems like a far-out, can't-reach message, but that Bible's true. He says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Believe that you... Now, the Bible says in Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? You're going to be a doer. You're going to hear what He says. You're going to forgive people. You're going to forgive your ex-husband. You're going to forgive your ex-wife. You're going to forgive your ex... whatever. Huh? Yeah. Even your one of my brothers, I was talking to him here a year or two ago because I'd purposed to go and do some things and maybe talk to him about Jesus some because he wasn't saved. I don't, you know. And so I found out my brother-in-law, he's been dead for 10 or 15 years now. And I found out that when my brother was 15 and he's in his 70s close to, I guess, mid-60s, you know, and this is just last year. Well, in conversation, Real and Rod was brought up that his brother, he lost, locked it, and a fish took it off, and his brother-in-law chewed him out real good 40 years ago, and he's still mad. Still mad about that stupid Real and Rod. Wasn't about the Real and Rod. He chewed him out and made him feel little. Humiliated him. You know, I'm looking at him like, man, he's dead. I know he's dead, but he still didn't have no reason to do that blank to me. And I'm like, wow, didn't see that one coming. See, some of you got to forgive some folk. The Word won't work where unforgiveness is. It can't work where it's at. Faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. He says faith works by love. Well, it's not love to hold a grudge. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love keeps no account of the wrong that has been done to them. Now, that's a choice. Every one of us, you know, we feel like we've got a right. And I mean, God's saying this, you must forgive your mama-in-law. I love my mama-in-law. I loved her through Jesus. And it's been real good since I did that, had it ours. And she loved me back. We hated the ground each other walked on. I mean, I never wanted her dead, but I wanted to half kill her. Choke her out, at least put her in a sleeper hole. And look where we're at together. She's working in the ministry. Don't tell me that, see, and it wasn't me and her. It was me and her working with Jesus and the Word and brought us closer together than we've ever been. Supernatural, that can happen in your life. I've had people to take money, big amounts of money from me in different things, you know, and ask the Lord, can I backslide, you know? Can I just step out, for just a little while, you know? I mean, I'm talking to Jesus about this, and I'm serious. Because while I'm walking in love, I can't do it. That's, you know, strange you. Love restrains you, the Bible says. So I'm asking the Lord because of how it impacted me and Teresa and this and that and other things, you know, and how long it's going to take me to make this up and take care of this problem, blah, blah, blah. See, you can't meditate on all the wrong that's been done to you and get rich. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm just going to go let him have it. And then I'll just repent. He said, I won't take you back. He said, I won't accept you. How many knows? Without him, we can do what? How much? Nothing. I mean, that one incident could have tore my world apart. It probably would have. My finances apart. It would have ripped my family apart. It would have ripped my friends apart. Used to before I got saved. I didn't care if it ripped them apart. Hey, y'all need ripped apart. But I went on, and the Lord said, I want you to pray for them. And I said, I'm not going to pray. I want you to send lightning down and get them. Let God get them, God. Get them. You won't let me get them. Why don't you get them? It looks like they're prospering. They're just going about. It looks like they're prospering, you know. It just looks like nothing's happening. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for them. And I first told him no for the first week. And every time I'd try to pray, it'd come up. And so I did. Every day prayed for that person. 6 months later, a breakthrough come. See, don't quit after the first 2 days. If you don't see your finances change, don't quit after the first week. Don't start saying, I'm just bound for poverty. I'm just bound for poverty. No, you're bound to be wealthy. You're bound to be blessed abundantly above, greater than you could think or ask, according to the power that works in you. Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you will hearken to my word, to the voice of my voice, he said, and do all that I command you to do. He said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. He said, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. But you know what Jesus did when he was Luke 4 up there and he was led in the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil? When the devil come to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 to the devil. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. He goes on down and shows him all these things. He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all of this. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That was scripture he was quoting. And God spoke to me when I was reading that one time. He said, if Jesus used the word of God against the devil, he said, you are supposed to use the word of God against the devil because he is your example. Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of a ship. And a storm rose, and the ship was filling up. A storm rose. Their life was being, how's your life? Are things just ship like? Being tossed to and all of that stuff. Jesus was in the same boat. How many knows he's in you? They go woke Jesus up and they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? Do you not care about what? Can't you see that my life is going? Somebody was accused of something here just recently that I know, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And it was bad. And they were talking about, man, if this gets back to my church. And I know it wasn't real. I know it wasn't true, you know. But people were spreading rumors. Have you ever had any rumors on you? Don't tell us. I've never had none, but other here in Bluntsville. I've lived here all my life. Well, anyways, they're like telling me this, you know, and I said, don't try to defend yourself. I said, forgive them. I said, just forgive them. Let them say what they want to. Let them advertise for you. Let people see you walking around. You've been accused. Then you can preach, and you got people listening. I'm going to hear what he got to say now. But what was I doing? Blessed is the peacemaker. Now he's heard these accusations. They're disturbing his life. They're disturbing his spiritual life. They're disturbing his church life. They're disturbing his house life. They're disturbing everything. How many knows we're not supposed to be moved by anything? Well, Ephesians, and I'll close with this. Monty brought it up in the Lord this morning. It's, you know, we do all these things with faith. Now, we've been given the measure of faith. But then the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you've heard the Word of God. You've seen it on the screen. Faith comes by hearing. Now, you can believe that these storms can come to your life and they're not going to prevail because you are going to be a doer of God's Word. Not just in church, but when you leave here. And every one of us soldiers, we're soldiers in the army of God. And every one of us have troubles come to us most of the time on a daily basis. But some of us, I'm going to say all of us, here at Faithway Christian Center, we take those darts and we let the shield of faith quench them. We know what the Word of God says. And that's the shield of faith. It's like when you've got faith in your heart, it's like there's a shield there and it goes bing, bing. You only hear it. What was that? That was an arrow. Didn't get to you. Why? You got faith. You're standing in your faith. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Hear me on this. It don't come by you knowing scriptures that you know from 1968. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I've got biscuits left over that I cooked this morning. Now, I cooked some good biscuits. But I'm not going to leave them on the stove till next Sunday because it ruins my eggs. I'm going to put me on some fresh ones next Sunday, and I'm going to have warm butter biscuits. You know, I'm not going to try to eat the old ones. Well, that's the way we got to do with the Word. We got to say, well, we've read it all our life, but we're not going to be familiar with it. Get that Bible out. The Bible says in Ephesians that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what Jesus did with Satan. Jesus come up out of the hinder part of that ship, stepped out on that boat. He'd been teaching them about faith the whole time. Stepped out on that boat. He said, peace be still. The storm stopped. The wind quit blowing and a calm came. And then he looked at the disciples. He said, why did y'all fear? Where is your faith? You know what? They could have calmed that storm. I speak to mountains in my life. I speak to financial things in my life. I speak to fear when it tries to come that jobs ain't going to go good. My job ain't going to be well. I cast it down and I say, no weapons formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. My job is not my identity, praise God. My identity is Jesus. My check is not. I told this last night. They were some Christians all about the ball game. I watched it. I thought Auburn was going to win. I was praying for y'all. Not really praying for y'all. Hoping that you got the victory. Teresa don't like me to say that. She makes me wear Alabama hats. Nah, she don't. But I saw it in there out of Christians that is on my Facebook, on my list, you know. And they were like, where's all my Auburn Tigers now, Rah? Where's all my Tigers now, Rah? Then the other, yeah, where are y'all Tigers at, Rah? You know? And so I thought about my two babies, grandbabies. One of them's 5, fixed to be 6, and one of them's 8. And I'm teaching them to play checkers. And neither one of them likes to lose. Neither one of them likes to be jumped. Every one of both of them want to get crowns, and they get upset if you jump them before they get a crown. And I mean, the game is just intense. And I'm sitting here as the referee. But my intention, I'm going to set out and teach these kids to enjoy the game, not to, you know, get upset when you don't get a crown. And when you lose some men, don't get upset. And so I told them about, I said, it used to be you could enjoy watching the ball game. And, you know, enjoyed watching it. I dread the end of it because we have a bunch of brats in the body. Y'all quiet. Well, y'all are Auburn and Alabama, and I am too. Both of them's in Alabama, right? Both of them's in Alabama. They're both of our ball game. They're mine. I'm Alabama and Auburn fan. Why don't you just get both of them? You solve the whole problem. Then when they lose, well, may the best one win. Right? I'm not a Democrat or Republican. That's why I'd float around either one of them. But anyways, I told them, I said, we used to be able to enjoy. I said, I watched both teams play. I did. I sat there and watched the ball game. Auburn did a good job. Both of them could do better. I mean, they need to work. They're getting paid good money. Get a little better. Right? Did you see all that stadium? Them guys ain't out there making peanuts. I mean, we pay us, all us fans that buys their stuff, we pay them big money. Anyways, I told them, I said, used to you could enjoy the game, but now it's turned into a weapon. I mean, one woman on her, Auburn lost, sitting in there in the stadium. Tears running down her face. I don't know why. Maybe her boyfriend was playing. I have no idea. But just all sad because Auburn won, didn't win. Well, that's the way Aubrey and Aiden are. And this world ain't going to be, that's not the way they're going to be. So I've almost got them where they can enjoy the game. And so I told them, I said, you know, it's become a weapon. How many know Satan will use anything he can use? I don't care what it is. Me and you got to be neutral. We got to stay out here. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You ain't going to get me mad if Auburn wins or the Tigers or the Super Bowl or Alabama wins. And if they don't win, suck it up, Buttercup. You know, you signed up. And us Christians out here don't need to get all upset about a ball game. You know, I told them, I said, I'm teaching this to babies. Boop. I didn't hear nothing else about them Auburn fans. Where are y'all at now? Oh, them Alabama fans, shut them all up. Shut all them Christians up. I meant to bust them. You baby out there doing that stuff, and you're a grown man or a woman, you're a Christian, and you're causing division among the brethren. I don't care if it is social media. They sent me a thing on Facebook and said, we're going to terminate blunt overhead door, something I said or whatever, you know. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to permanently unless you come back and you. And I sent them a message and I said, you know what? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, but you know what? I think I'll just, I'll remove you and I'll remove my personal off of Facebook and I'll just quit buying any Facebook junk and then you ain't getting my money. I thought, you don't threaten me. You think Facebook, Jesus come before Facebook ever got here. Right? Well, you stay on the marketplace. Well, I went out and drove and had more fun looking for stuff than sitting on my couch. At least I enjoyed riding while I was looking. Right? So I want to encourage you this morning, praise God. The Word of God is all the evidence you need to know. But what you do with the Word of God is going to determine the results that you get or don't get. So get the Word. Get the Word. Meditate on the Word day and night. The Bible says you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success, Joshua 1:8, praise God. See, you're not victims of your circumstances. You're victorious. Your circumstances tries to make you a victim. But you're victorious over your circumstances. But victory don't mean that your circumstances necessarily change. You change on the inside. Then, even if things don't change on the outside, you've already got victory and you'll enjoy life, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray.